Welcome to Campus Stories. This is a 10-part series which examines non-traditional routes to third-level education. This programme series was funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. It is produced and presented by Chloe Liddy Judge and Damien O'Brien. This programme looks at people with physical disabilities accessing third level education. We talked to Caroline Fahey, who has cerebral palsy and is currently attending Mary Immaculate College. She told us a little bit about herself.
My name is Caroline Fahey and I have a disability in CP. I have three sisters and two brothers. My hobbies are computers, art, music.
Caroline told us how cerebral palsy affects her life.
Well, basically, I need practically everything done for me, like getting up in the morning. I have to get somebody to dress me, to wash me, not to feed me. I can do that myself, but feeding myself, other people have to do it for me.
We asked Caroline what classes she is attending.
I'm actually attending English classes in Mary I, which happens on Mondays, and Tuesdays. It's Mondays at 2 from 3 till 3. Wednesdays from 4 to 5 and Thursdays four to 5.
So how did Caroline go about getting her place in Mary I?
I asked the staff to get a bit of back information to see could I fill out a form. Then when I fill out the form, I had to wait for about a month. When I got the form back, I had to go and see the disability officer to see what I needed to attend college. So After she interviewed me, that was a bit nerve-wracking because it was like going to see the principal in school, if you know what I mean.
So Caroline had gotten into Mary I. What was her first day like? Was she nervous?
Yeah, because on the registry night, my mother had to move on to register, and we had to sit in the back of the class. And when I get nervous, I know what I want to say, but the words won't actually come out of my mouth.
Caroline had mentioned meeting with the college's Access and Disability Officer. We talked to her and she told us a little bit about what her job entails.
My name is Nicola Hurley and I'm the Access Disability Officer in the college. Basically, my job is to coordinate the services and supports for people who come to the college through various access routes. When I say access routes, we'd include many different target groups under that. Disability would be one, but we'd also have access in the terms of socioeconomic disadvantage, mature students and travellers and refugees would all come under the heading of access now. So it's all kind of changed. It's become a broader term in a sense.
So when was the job created?
The job was actually created in 2002, so it's a relatively new position still. And there's a lot of new policy work and everything still being, you know, still being devised and worked on. And I suppose it's been great to have a contact point. I would be, you know, a person that, you know, anyone with kind of issues or anyone looking for information that they can come to and speak to directly. Right. And they know who I am and they hopefully know where I am. And, you know, that's, I suppose, the start of it, really.
We also asked Nicola why the job was created in the first place.
Well, I suppose to address the fact that a lot more students with disabilities and, you know, from underrepresented groups, I suppose, in education are coming into the third level and to have really a contact point and a person there to facilitate them, to provide the supports, to chat to them, to see how they're getting on, to assist them with funding applications and all that. Whereas before, I suppose, there wasn't as much of an awareness there. And I suppose the whole profile has been, you know, broadened and there is awareness. It's starting to increase.
So what does a college do to help students with physical disabilities?
Well, we would have, you know, to the college environment itself, physically there would have been quite a number of changes in recent years. We have specialised lifts that are actually designed for wheelchair users. And we are looking at having the automatic access doors there in main reception, which would make a huge difference. Then we have the usual ramps and the usual physical, you know, physical environmental changes around the college as well.
We also talked to Dr. Paula Murphy, who lectures in English in Mary Immaculate College. We asked her if there were any students with physical disabilities in any of her classes.
Yes, I have one student in my first year class, Caroline Fahey. She's in first year English and I had her for my drama lectures last semester.
We asked Paula if she had offered Caroline any extra help.
Yes, it's really impossible for her to write down quickly enough to take down notes in lectures and that, so I have given her a typed copy of my notes after each lecture for her to read in her own time. Not every lecturer uses notes, so in that case, sometimes students have to actually record the lectures and listen to in their own time if the lecturer will give them permission to do that.
And can students like Caroline get extensions for essays or extra help at exam time?
Yes, extra extensions can be given for essays, and Caroline was given a few extra weeks for her essay, the first one she did, because of the difficulties of typing it out. And she actually got a very good mark in the end. In exams, she gets anything that student services can provide for her. So these include things like extra time, a different room, sometimes a room on your own, tape recording facilities, and of course the marking scheme would take account of her special circumstances as well.
We asked Paula if she had seen Caroline being welcomed by or interacting with many other students.
I haven't seen Caroline in a tutorial situation where students would tend to interact more with each other, but I haven't seen her talking much to other students in the class. And I think that's probably because in LG9, where we had our lectures, the only place for a wheelchair is right at the very front, which automatically positions her away from the rest of the class. And also because Caroline often has to wait until everyone else is gone before she can actually get out and the doorway has been cleared to get out with her wheelchair.
We asked Paula if she thought that it was important for students to have regular interaction with someone who has physical disabilities.
I think it's really important for them to interact regularly with students who have disabilities because it makes them aware that not everyone is fortunate enough to be able to go to college without thinking about things like how will I get into this room? Do I have enough time to make it from one lecture to another? Or can I get my essay in by the deadline? And it can also be quite inspiring for other students to see people like Caroline doing well and really overcoming their problems. Because I think almost every student goes through a tough time at some stage during college. And people with disabilities are a reminder that these can be overcome and coped with. And I think also students with disabilities can bring a really new and interesting perspective to discussions in class, which is good for everyone.
We asked both Nicola Hurley and Paula Murphy what they thought of the wheelchair access in the college.
I know myself, I had a student who came in to an open day a couple of years ago, and I actually didn't know they were coming. And you know, I think being proactive makes a huge difference. And I suppose I saw firsthand that the kind of difficulties, the fact that it is an old building, you know, we are fairly restricted into what we can do, and we do comply with all the legislation at the moment. And I suppose the difficulty is trying to get from A to B between lectures and the time frame, and you know, certain doors, trying to open them, and you know, there are. But I mean, if somebody has come in and before they actually, you know, register in the college and get a feel for the campus, there's a lot that can be done planning wise to kind of ensure that it is easier for them, you know.
I think that the wheelchair access in the college could be better, to be honest. There are lifts in the main building and in Somerville, but these are sometimes unreliable. And if that happens, then a student can be stuck with literally no way to attend their lecture or tutorial.
So does Paula think that the college could do more to help?
Yes, I think so. I mean, for example, it wouldn't be difficult to arrange for at least tutorials, if not lectures, to be on a ground floor classroom, which would mean that entry wouldn't be a problem. And also, it could be enforced as a rule that lecturers have to either allow their students to be recorded or to provide notes, because otherwise students are left photocopying the handwritten notes from other students. And there are numerous problems with this. I mean, first of all, you're depending on someone else's note-taking skills. The points that they write down may not be the ones that you would choose. And simple things like deciphering handwriting can become a major problem. I think there are things that students can do as well. Just being aware of the fact that there are people in college with physical disabilities and watching out for obstacles in doorways or moving out of the way if someone in a wheelchair is trying to get through. For example, with the crowd in first year lectures, Caroline sometimes had difficulty actually making her way into the room. But once the other students are aware that a person in a wheelchair is trying to get through, they're normally more than happy to help.
We asked Caroline what difficulties she had in the college.
When going, you need a PA to go around the college, because even though it's wheelchair, it's supposed to be wheelchair friendly, but there's all these cracks and nooks on the road and the pavement, so you would never. And the wonders, wonders to get around on your own, you know what I mean? So, and they've got a lift, by the radio, but that's mostly off the border. Every time I go into it, it's off the border, which means I've got to walk halfway around the building to get to the lecture hall.
We also asked Caroline what contact she had with the disability officer.
I have, when I say to the disability officer, I only know her name. I have a nickname, Miss Simpson. You know what I mean? I think she's only there as a figurehead. I've never kind of Miss, you know what I mean?
We also spoke to Elaine Cross, who works in Enable Ireland. She told us a little bit about her job.
My name is Elaine and I'm a tutor here in Enable Ireland. I teach literacy both on a one-to-one basis and a group basis. I also teach numeracy, again, and some one-to-one and some group. I teach communications for VTEC. I've taught health in the past. I'm also coordinating a community placement module, which allows the lads to go out into the community to observe in areas that they choose and that they like. For example, if one person has an interest in music, then they've chosen different music shops, and we would ring and liaise with the management there to see would they take that person on. I also am the tutor for a holiday planning module, which again allows the trainees to choose the destination where they'd like to go on holidays. Then they're responsible of putting the itinerary together, and I facilitate all that. Like, I might make the bookings and make background inquiries as to accessibility and for hotels and as well. So that's one that's been running for 3 years, and everyone on in training goes once.
We asked Elaine if Enable encouraged or assisted in service users pursuing further education.
Well, Enable Ireland have now got a training programme up and running for the last 4 years. Prior to that, the service was just day services based, which meant that service users had very little opportunity to work on existing skills or add to them. We also, through our key worker system, we would work on with people with specific goals. And for example, if they were to attend an evening class or mainstream third level education, we would and have in the past provided transport plus PA support, so that the trainees or the service users can then avail of these opportunities.
So what could be done to make life easier for those with cerebral palsy to attend third level?
Well, what would make it easier is that if the service users had their own personal assistant, they could be more independent of the service, and so they could, you know, have more of a life outside of here if that's what they wanted. And that's a problem with the help board, that it's they don't seem to make the link at all. You know, access is a big issue, you know, and not every campus is accessible, for example, or a lot more than campuses, I suppose, would be venues for evening classes, day classes, because they don't think, or they've been built way back when, yeah. And they're just not accessible. So if the access to buildings issue was improved upon, then people would have more opportunities.
We asked Elaine why she thought more people with cerebral palsy do not pursue further education.
Well, in my opinion, one of the main reasons why people with physical disabilities don't access third level education is that they would have a lower, not everybody, but some people would have a lower educational achievement, and this would be seen mainly, in my opinion again, people who come from the special education system. You know, and that's a huge area, but and it seems it's very hard to know why, really, because, you know, they're in school from the time any other child is in school, from 5 to 18. So, you know, I realise as well that, I mean, in the special ed system, they provide other essential services like physio, speech therapy, those things are essential. But, you know, really, the special ed system, in my opinion, again, really needs to be looked at, because people get lost in the system. You know, people like those who would have the ability don't seem to be able to progress, even though now some people have and do the leaving cert, but it wouldn't be a full leaving cert. And it's usually at a lower level too, so therefore there's a knock-on effect. You're not in the points race then, because you can't have the points to get in, and you know, you always have access to mature student, but then the numbers are limited again, and so you're out of the loop really, and it's very hard to get in. And you really have to fight very hard. And then also, it's the issues like I mentioned earlier, the PA, the lack of personal assistance support is massive, because a person who needs a lot of support, a few hours is no good. You know, if they're going to be doing a course full time, well, then they need a person for example, 6 hours in the day and not an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. That's no good. What you do in between times?
We asked Dr. Paula Murphy the same question.
I think definitely one of the reasons is probably the fact that there is a lot of uncertainty about the kind of facilities available to people with disabilities. If a college is actively wheelchair accessible or not, for example, and information about whether extensions, extra exam time and things like that will be available. There may also be a lack of knowledge about other students with disabilities who have attended university and obtained a university qualification. I think that it's really important for students with disabilities to know that others have done it before them, to give them the necessary encouragement to pursue a course. And
Caroline told us if she would encourage others in the same position as herself to return to third level education.
Yeah, but as I already said, look into it, because it's not very easy to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People say it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's very time consuming.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the right support, your head is right looking for the right support.
Yeah.
We asked Nicola Hurley, the college's Access and Disability Officer, about her goals for the future.
Well, I suppose we've started with a new access policy now, which we're hoping to implement now for 2006 and 07. So to just broaden the access routes and, I suppose, be a bit more visible on campus, and that students know where I am and they're not afraid to approach us. And I suppose long term we would like to see a separate area for access, you know, a kind of designated space, both for kind of services and for equipment and supports and everything as well. So that's something that we are hoping to do in the future.
This programme is part of a 10-part series funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. We would like to thank everyone who participated in this programme and to wish them well in the future. This programme was produced and presented by Damien O'Brien and Chloe Liddy-Judge.